South Florida fans still cracking me up, man.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Coming to you the last day from the Mobile C5 studio down here in 30A. Your last day is always your saddest day of vacation, but we got to get back to Auburn. School starting soon. Fall camp starting soon. We're going to have a ton of fun. This show's going to be – so Fridays we typically reserve one segment for Jack Arse of the Week awards. This whole show may be Jack. This may be the whole Jack Arse of the Week show. We got three things we want to talk about. USF fans still being crazy illogical. I don't really understand that. Some Jordan Hare slander that is super lazy. We're going to talk about that. And Steve Sarkisian just says it. He says the quiet part out loud. I don't necessarily disagree with what he says, but there's a specific part of it that I want to address. I think is not the wisest thing, but I want to jump into it. I want to start off with the USF fans. Look, I would think that if I'm a USF fan, I would like to think I would kind of understand who we were as a program, who we are as a program, and understand that we're not a destination job. Like, guys aren't going to come here and retire. Like, I got to understand that we're probably going to be having a new coach every 3 years. If it's good or bad, because good, they're going to be, if they're good, they're going to be taking other jobs. And then if they're bad, obviously you're going to be firing them and moving on. But that's the cycle. That's what that unfortunate reality of being in a group of five school, you know, not in a power conference. Hey, and being this one in particular, you're not going to go get a top end coach and he coached there for 10, 15 years. You're not going to go get a guy that's going to be there for 30 years and retire. Like, that ain't going to happen. But the disdain for Alex Golish is wild to me. And I thought they would get over it. Like, okay, the initial hurt. I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. The initial hurt of him leaving, you know, I get it. But it's continuing. And this was a tweet from a USF fan page. Come to USF. Actually, I don't even know if that's a fan page. That could be a recruiting page. I haven't done a ton of research. But it was a retweet of the clip from the SEC network that says, I don't set goals, I set standards. And it was, you know, the big quote. Honestly, it could have been the biggest quote of media days from Alex Golish. And then they quote it and respond, underachieving is the standard. Underachieving. So you would have to take the logical step that this particular account or this particular group of fans believes that Alex Golish underachieved at USF, underachieved at taking a team that won four games in 3 years to a bowl game in your very, very first year, underachieving to take a team that won four games in 3 years to two bowl games in a row, and the second year his quarterback was injured, having to go with a backup. And then taking a team that won four games in 3 years to nine wins in year three before he left. What is underachieving? Like, what did they expect? If you underachieve, that means you have a vision of where South Florida should be, and this guy didn't get there. I mean, the nine wins, you can only find two seasons ever where they won more than nine games. There is in back-to-back years in 16 and 17. You had Willie Taggart win 11 games. Then you had Charlie Strong win 10 games. And then the program completely had collapsed. 10 wins, 7 wins, 4, 1, 2, 1. One conference game in 3 years. There's this idea that South Florida was just this recruiting hotbed, this NIL, you know, juggernaut. And all Alex Golish did was just mismanage things while he was there. That's the story that they want to tell. And now they think Brian Hartline is going to be this longtime tenured, you know, savior. You know, he's not going to take things and underachieve. Like, this guy, he's the man. He's who we really need. He's going to take us to the promised land. It's like, I got news for y'all. I got news for you. He may ride this wave of success that Alex Golish created into this new stadium they're going to build. And I tell you what, after, if he has 2 or 3 years of success, he's out of there. You're going to be going through this whole thing again. So out of touch with reality. Underachieve. You really won one conference game in 3 years. And then the dude comes in and goes 4-4, 4-4, 6-2 in conference, and you call that underachieving? I don't get it. I don't get it. And again, it's like we just totally throw the context out the window with what happened in 2024 with Byron Brown going down, I think, 4 or 5 games in. So, like, he still got you a winning record when you're not really used to those. I don't get it, guys. Help me understand. Help me understand. We got some Jordan Hare slander we're going to talk about as well. We're going to jump into that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. It's still hot outside. You can still beat the heat by getting a free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis. And then they'll give you $50 off any AC repairs over $300. They're open now at 7 a.m., so you can drop it off from 7 to 9. You can also get a $50 oil change on top of that. A lot of y'all have taken advantage of that. Keep doing that. Keep showing them the love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then it's buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're an Auburn business owner, this is the best advertising value out there. It's only $300 a year, and then you get a business listing and you get a chance for a business spotlight podcast as well. And if you're an Auburn fan, Auburn listener, and you're doing any type of business anywhere, start at buyauburn.com. Start your process there. See if it's available, what you're looking for is available, and if not, hey, then go do what you got to do. But try to do business with Auburn people first. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. This one may take a little bit of a setup, but there was a long tweet thread, and it wasn't even really the topic wasn't even really all about Auburn and Jordan-Hare Stadium. It was a whole nother conversation, and then this guy, Bud Elliott, just takes it to a level, to me, that's very, very lazy. But Bud Elliott, he's a CBS writer, and he's also the host of the Cover 3 podcast, I believe, which they label the number one podcast in college, the number one college football podcast, which is funny because The Barn gets exponentially more listens, at least views on YouTube. Nationwide, I guess, and we're only talking about Auburn, where they're talking about college football at all. So I don't know how you get the label the number one college football podcast. That's neither here nor there. He takes a shot at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and I'm going to read the tweet to you. He says, "Dude, give me a break. Auburn home field advantage is not special. differential. It's not even top 15 in the sport. So here's the deal. If you're lazy and all you're looking at are the past 5 years, and then you only look at the win-loss record at home, this has been a dark time in Auburn football. Okay, it's been awful. And I'm sure the home field advantage has not been – hold on, let me back up. There's a difference to me between success at home and then home field advantage. Even throughout the dark times, there it's still a wild place to play. Like, sure, Auburn probably hasn't come out on the better end of a lot of these games in this what I call the dark ages. But it's not like Auburn's just getting blown out at home and there's no issue with noise. There's no crazy things that happen. There's no fan engagement. Like, you got to do a little bit more homework than just looking at the box score. You know, I always talk about box score guy. Don't be a box score guy. Like, do your homework. Even as bad as Auburn's been, think about the last three Iron Bowls in Jordan-Hare and what it's taken for Alabama to win those games against teams that have lost seven games. You know, Alabama had some playoff teams in there, and Auburn, you know, were again, seven lost teams. And what'd you have to have a Hail Mary on fourth and goal from the 31? You had to have a multiple overtime against a backup quarterback into the 2-point conversion off, which is just crazy. Like, you had to have that to go for a win. You had to have a super late turnover to win this last one. And then, honestly, you had to have one of Auburn's stars fumble, you know, going in to potentially tie the game. You've had bad snaps. You've had teams do uncharacteristic things. I can go on and on. And then you can just point to the fact that, you know, you go look at Harsin's year when he gets fired, you bring Cadillac in, and it's the most electric atmosphere game of the year against Texas A&M. Auburn constantly does that. Even in bad seasons, I honestly would love to see the home field advantage of any team that's a bigger brand that may go through a period of time that Auburn's gone through. I would love to see if the intensity is still there. I would love to see if they sell it out like Auburn has continued to sell it out. That's just lazy, bro. It's like, did you just start watching college football 5 years ago? Like, does any past what's like, does anything prior to 2020 count in your argument? No coach agrees with you. You've heard what Nick Saban has to say unprompted. You've heard what Kirby Smart says unprompted about Jordan-Hare. I don't know where that comes from. And I think if I'm gonna have a college football podcast and I'm gonna be a writer for a big company that covers college football, I'm gonna be a little bit more nuanced than box score guy. And that's the way that tweet came off. So I don't really understand that one. And like I said at the top of the show, this is kind of a whole Jack Arse of the week show. We got multiple Jack Arses from Jack Arse Rentals. Jack Arse Rentals. You go to jackarserentals.com if you're in the East Alabama or Columbus area market and you need some heavy equipment, but you just don't need it for the weekend or just need it for a small project. You don't need to buy it. Go to Jack Arse Rentals if you need a lift, a skid steer, a mini X. Any kind of machinery that you can dream of, they got it for you. Show them some love. It's Jack Arse Rentals this last one, I'm just shocked Sarkisian said these names out loud. So he's talking about creating cap space, which I know makes everyone's skin crawl to think about, but it is the case. Like, there is a there's a hard cap, and then there's just the cap of like what you can and can't afford. But nobody really calls it that, because that when you do that, it kind of hurts people's feelings when you really emphasize the money aspect of it. But he basically said they had to let some players go to create cap space, which I have no problem on the surface. He says to make the moves we make, to bring in a Cam Coleman, to bring in a Hollywood Smothers, to bring in a Relique Brown, to bring in a Mike Masunas at tight end, we had to let DeAndre Moore go. We had to let Parker Livingston go. We had to let Trey Wisner go. We had to let CJ Baxter go. We had to let some pretty good players leave to create cap space to bring those guys in. That's fine. Just say that. I think strategically there were some tough decisions to make, but we made them. I think we can all agree we're probably better around Arch today than we were a year ago at this time. So here's the thing. I have no problem with 80% of what he just said. Hey, sometimes you're going to have to make some really, really tough decisions. You're going to have to make some tough decisions in roster management. You're going to have to look at a guy who may be costing you X and say, am I getting the production from him, or could I get better production from player Y? And I may have to let this guy go to free up some space to go get player Y. How you let him go, either you say, we're not going to pay your number anymore, or you encourage him to move on. Like, I don't know how that whole situation goes down, but I don't know that I would say the players' names. Like, I don't know that I would actually put that out there. Yeah, we know who they are, but I don't know that I would say that my player now is better than this player that just left. To me, that's just bad business. Like, I don't even think they do that. Like, we all know who it is, but I don't think they necessarily do it super publicly, even in the NFL. And maybe you say, hey, if you're going to play big boy games, you're going to win big boy prizes. And I'm specifically talking about these players that are making, tons of money. Hey, there's going to be criticism that comes along with it. Maybe that's the case, but it's like, there's still like that unwritten, don't call players out type thing. Like, everybody kind of gets ruffled when things like that happen. I just can't believe he just named all the players that they essentially kicked out to bring in all these new players. I feel like if he would have said everything but left out that middle paragraph, that's all you had to say. If he just said, hey, we had to let some pretty good players go to create some cap space to bring in guys like Cam Coleman, Hollywood Smothers, Relique Brown, and Mike Masunas, I think strategically there were some decisions to make, but we made them, and I think we're better around Arch than we were last year. That's all you had to say. I'm shocked he called names out. I don't know. Maybe I'm making a big deal out of that. Let me know what y'all think. Let me know what you think about USF fans. What would you like to say to USF fans today, particularly about Alex Golish? Do you think Jordan Hare still has some magic left? I do. And when the team finally gets back around to playing Auburn football, I think there could be some even more magic that happens. I just don't be lazy. If you're going to cover something, don't be lazy. If you're going to be the number one college football podcast, that's what you call yourself, don't be lazy. That's all. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk again very, very soon. Thank y'all for hanging in there through the weather, through the location changes, through everything. Really appreciate it. We'll be back in Auburn very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.